This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Giants bringing pressure. Wilson lofting. Wilson has a man out there. Wilson has a touchdown. It's a second touchdown for Calvin Austin.
That was the call last night. Steelers Radio. Final hour fist pump time on the Fan Camp Twitch and YouTube. Thanks for being part of a Tolo Tuesday. Sean Shreve, RJ Choppy, along with our Cowboys insider, Bobby Roberto Belt. We got Peyton and Caitlin in the back. We are live on the Fan Camp Twitch and YouTube. Let's go around the rest of the league. And then Micah and Trayvon address the thought and idea of a Dallas Cowboy meltdown. This is the clip that I was talking about with Jerry, not D's nuts, but a Cowboy meltdown. We'll get into it at 9:20, then crosstalk with the KMC masterpiece at 9:40. Everyone is taking great pleasure in laughing at the demise of the New York Jets, who had an awful, awful, awful loss this weekend in dropping a game to the Patriots. Aaron Rodgers talking about what now needs to happen.
Yeah, I've been in the darkness. You got to go in there, make peace with it. Offensively, our goal has just got to be score 30. Doesn't matter what the other two sides are doing. You know, we have trust in our defense and teams. But if we're not scoring 30, we're underachieving. This offense can do that every single week.
Shannon Sharp yesterday on ESPN, and I feel like these are all like subtle passive-aggressive shots at McAfee. It couldn't happen to a more smug, cavalier, condescending guy. That was Shannon Sharp saying that about Rodgers. He said the excuses are running out on who to blame and point the finger at. You've gotten the head coach gone. The OC has been demoted. You traded for Devontae. You got all the weapons, got all the names, and you still lost to the freaking soft Patriots.
They scored more than 20 points. They did not turn the ball over. And they held their opponents to under 250 yards.
It's uncomeback with a bowl.
In the history of the National Football League, teams that did that going into this game were 750-0.
No. It's the first time. And I think Drake May, he suffered a concussion in this game as well.
He did. The only winning streak in the history of the NFL that was longer than this one was the team that scores more points wins the game. That's the only winning streak in the history of the league.
Yes.
That is longer than this one.
Rex Ryan. Rex coming off a little bit desperate now.
No way. Really?
Rex was on ESPN New York.
If you got that call, would you answer it? Would you consider being the head coach of this team?
Oh, I'd do it in a second. I'd do it in a second because I am a New York Jet, and absolutely would. But I'm not here to politic or. And it seems like it because I tell the damn truth and I speak as a fan of this football team and in this community. That's why it makes sense. So yeah, we'll see. I hope I get an opportunity to interview for it. That's absolutely a given. I hope I get that opportunity.
Is he getting no calls, or is he just not gotten the right calls for him?
No calls. Like, I think Dallas was his first call in forever.
Like, why?
Because he wasn't good the last, like, five years he was a coach. He was bad.
Because how many of these,
but as a DC?
You got to assume he wanted to be a DC before. Like, he wasn't, like, holding, I'm only going to coach.
There is a thought that Baltimore was viewed for a while as a job of where it was just like, it kind of didn't matter who you threw in there as coordinator. They were churning out defenses because they had studs. So a lot of people kind of, I think, put Baltimore out of their head a little bit. And so then when they look at the totality of the time he was with the Jets, it was like, yeah, you have two great defenses in like 7-8 years. And so otherwise, I think some people look and go, Rob Ryan, who has very similar concepts and ideology, has shown in recent years his scheme gets roasted. And so I think there's a similarity of just like, is that going to be any better?
Bassett just came in here and was just in awe of the Kansas City Chiefs organization and roster. And yesterday, they were getting even more praise.
They were getting rave reviews for this deal, regarded as quote-unquote savvy. Of course, this is from Arrowhead Addict. So perhaps there's a bias there, Bobby. I don't know.
It's the chemist, the Arrowhead Addict.
But is it Josh? Is it Uche?
Uche.
Sure. Regarded as savvy by Brett Veach. They get him from New England for a future sixth round pick, not in this year's draft, Sean, in the 2026 draft. And they get a pass rusher. They get a guy who can get to the quarterback. And now he did. He had a career pop 1 year. And then the rest of the years he's been good, but not elite by any stretch of the imagination. But New England had him and they signed him. They gave him a 1 year extension and they decided to move on from him.
How many times would you guess in his 5-year career he's been placed on IR?
Three.
Four.
Whoa. That seems interesting.
This is also, by the way, a 6'1 pass rusher who didn't want to do any of the athletic testing at the combine. So, yeah, I would prefer to call those guys savvy, too, because they're certainly not, like, otherworldly talented.
Jordan Love's MRI came back with some good news. It is a strained groin. I thought it was actually a cheap shot from Trayvon Walker, who no one in the world ever talks about. Number one pick. I don't even know if I'm saying the name right. Trayvon Walker.
It's Trayvon.
With a shot to the back. And I was like, did he just give a kidney shot there that knocked out Jordan Love? But it's a strained groin. Apparently nothing major for the Green Bay Packers.
I'm glad you mentioned Trayvon Walker, though, because that is a great case of somebody who is a perfectly fine player, is a good player, who just gets overshadowed by the dude that went number two is so much better. And that Aiden Hutchinson has been a freak. But like, you look at last year, Trayvon Walker had 10 sacks. Wow. He's got 6.5 sacks this year.
He did not
play well his first year. And the first, if you look at the first half of last year, I think he got a lot of his sacks last year in the second half of the season. But if you look at the way that he's played since, you know, the like middle point of last year, he's got like 16 sacks in his last 20 games or something.
If you asked me what draft he was taken in, I would have guessed, like, I don't know, 2019?
Yes.
It's 2022.
Yeah.
It's 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Insane.
It's insanity.
We're geezers.
Y'all are.
Chicago. Yep. Yeah. Sciatic concert boy.
can't even, you're the Aaron Judge of being able to hit after a concert.
Oh, I hit, baby.
We got Chicago Bear fallout. Before we get to it, I wanted to hear, of course, the Commander's call was epic with the Hail Mary. I wanted to hear how devastating the Bears call was.
To the left, McLaren. And that's where Jaden Daniels is eyeballing. Jaden Daniels sifting back, being pressured. Jaden Daniels hemmed into the pocket, looking for blockers, looking for something. He's got plenty of time. Launches deep pass into the area of the end zone.
And
it's caught by Noah Brown. He was the tip man, and this place is now gone into bedlam mode. Washington with the miracle finish.
Sounds like a Bears broadcast.
The analyst sounded like that was almost a home call because he was so stunned. Yeah. He gave a loud emotional reaction. But.
So the player, Tyreek Stevenson, apologized. My lack of awareness and focus. The game ain't over till zeros hit the clock. Blah, blah, blah. Notes taken. Improvement will happen. But Eberflus caught more heat yesterday because he said the yards before the Hail Mary did not matter.
Yeah, because you're defending touchdown, right? You're defending touchdown there, and them throwing a ball for 13 yards or 10 yards, whatever that is, doesn't really matter. It's always going to come down to that last play. And it came down to a two-second play to the last play, and we got to execute on that one.
The guy who knows, he knows he's fired when you hear that. Yeah, because when you start getting that energy with the media, you know you're done.
We're defending the Hail Mary. Well, is he within distance to get it there? Romo was talking on the broadcast. They may have to bring Mariota in because of the hip injury. Jaden may not be able to get it there. Well,
he
moved up.
He was like 3 yards shy when it landed, right?
And you know how many yards shy he would have been if they didn't pick up 13?
13.
16 15? Yards shy. Yeah. He would have been 16 yards shy. But
can we get Hagelin for the math?
Eberflus is like, no, that does not matter. So there's some fallout from around the NFL. RJ Choppy with a couple of beers left over in the college football kegger.
Lane Kiffin is not happy, okay? Lane Kiffin thinks there is bias in the SEC over game times.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's proven over time in NFL and college. You know, playing at night in electric atmospheres is a home field advantage, and tough when you got to do that as a opposing team. So that's been proven for a long time. And so who went at night? LSU gets to play at night again, I guess. Shocker. So that's two for two for them. It is an advantage. I feel bad for our fans, you know, to not have one night conference game is really unfortunate for them. And so whatever, it's just really disappointing, but it is what it is.
So LSU and Bama gets the night game this week, right? Which is a big time rivalry game. It is. It's a big time rivalry game. It's a good game. It's going to draw eyeballs. Ole Miss is a 3 o'clock game. It's in the afternoon. It's on ABC. It's about the TV. It's not about, you know, the SEC isn't scheduling this necessarily. ABC and ESPN are figuring this one out. By the way, Lane, and I like you. I really do. If your stadium needs a night game to be an electric atmosphere, maybe that's your first problem. Yeah. All right? Maybe that's your first problem. And Ole Miss doesn't need a night game. That is the one of the best setups in the sport is the Grove out there. You don't need a night game.
It's been 15 years.
What?
It's been 15 years since I love the fact that Urban had to cheat and still couldn't get him at Tennessee.
Oh, new Keith Richardson?
When is this guy going to stop whining? It's been 15 years. He still talks the way he did 15 years ago when everybody's like, oh, Lane's just young and immature. No, Lane's a crybaby and has been his entire time, which is wild because Monty Kiffin was never like that. They're completely different personalities. This apple fell far from the tree and then rolled another mile. Like, he is such a crybaby. Yeah. He can't help himself.
He's, you know what he is? He's got big visor energy. Those visor guys, man.
Big visor energy.
Speaking of visors, Lincoln Riley. Lincoln, does he wear a visor?
Lincoln Riley. I don't know. I think he's going to be an advisor soon.
He's
going to
be an advisor soon. Here's the thing. His buyout is $90 million.
Oh, my.
And
it's that Dak Prescott price to get out of the contract.
They want him out at USC. The athletic director did not hire him, right? It's a new athletic, didn't hire him, didn't give him the contract or whatever. So they're kind of like, hey, we kind of want to part ways here, but they can't. They're stuck. They're stuck, and it is becoming kind of an albatross. The record was set by A&M at more than $76 million when they fired Jimbo. This, Jennifer Cohen is the AD, would have to be in the neighborhood of $90 million.
So why can't they get out of it? I mean, it's a $14 million difference. I get it. That is a lot of money. At what school would they not feel like they were stuck? Who would be like, all right, we're going to get enough people? SMU?
A&M.
A&M had to just Texas. Pay out a ton of money.
Texas. I mean, USC is a big deal.
It is a big deal. I don't think they even come close to the money. First of all, you got to have boosters that care. And it has been proven in college athletics, the ones who care the most are in the deep South. Like, that's where the money is, and that's who cares. I mean, UCLA. UCLA has got a ton of money, right? Why did UCLA go to the Big Ten? Financial reasons. They could not afford to compete when they were still in the Pac-12. They had to get money because their boosters just don't give them enough. They don't even have an indoor practice facility that's 100 yards at UCLA. This is UCLA, okay? So that they had to go to the Big Ten. USC was kind of in the same boat.
USC's football program in 2022 generated $70 million in revenue. And so that was for the entire year before expenses and everything else. And so, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're just – they don't want to devote the entire athletic department's, you know, basically income to paying for that.
And a school like Texas in the same year, or Texas A&M, is generating $150 million. Like, it's not really even close. They have the – so the next one here is The A&M shirts. I want to tell you about this one. This was from last week.
This is ridiculous. This is embarrassing.
This is little brother behavior, and I think A&M's got it doing a great job right now. Obviously, Elko is phenomenal, but they have welcome to the SEC shirts that say 30-15 on it with the horns down, the broken horns. You didn't play in the game.
But they played them earlier this year and beat them.
No, they hadn't done that either.
Oh, they hadn't.
No, they hadn't done that either. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
You can't do this. Like, you're selling the welcome to the SEC. You guys, you just got to the conference.
Yeah.
You're barely an SEC member yourself.
This is big A&M behavior, and it shows how obsessed they've been with Texas the whole time and how much they are still little brother. And that's why they tried to avoid Big Brother by going to the SEC and then going, we're not going to play the game anymore. We're not going to do it. Well, now we're here, and now you got to start grasping at straws.
Micah Parsons defends Trayvon Diggs, and the two talk about the idea why the Cowboys are not in the middle of a meltdown. Do you believe him, and do you agree? Next on Sean and RJ.
Hey, and it's back to Sean and RJ right here on 105.3 The Fan segment here brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org and also brought to you by the personal injury lawyers, Frankel and Frankel. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call Frankel first, 214-817-333-3333. With Frankel and Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck attorneys in Dallas.
Crosstalk with a KMC Masterpiece is coming up at 9:40. Dang it, I forgot to ask Jerry Jones about his Halloween costume. My wife showed me him dressed up as the Monopoly Man. And I want to know who comes up with the costume, and like, is his wife Jean going, you should be the Monopoly Man? Is it the grandkids? Who goes and gets the costume? Where was the party? Why weren't we invited? I think I can answer the last part. But Monopoly Man, apparently, for Jerry Jones.
Have you seen the picture? Or do you have the picture, like, in front of you?
She had showed it to me.
Do you know if he... Did he have, like... Was he wearing a monocle? Did he have that wrong?
I don't know. I just saw the mustache.
Because a lot of people have... they'll put the monocle on for the costume. It's like, Monopoly Man doesn't have a monocle.
Yeah, that's Mr. Peanut.
That's Mandela Effect right there. I was going to say, if he wanted Mandela to wear a costume... Effect. Yeah, you've never heard of that?
I have, but I don't know what it is.
Oh, well, we'll get into that later this week because I think you'll actually like it. I was going to say, if he was going to go in costume, he should go like holding up a Super Bowl trophy.
Trayvon Diggs.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well, we need to talk. Are we talking about the past or not talking about the past? Our 90s matchup with San Francisco. What are we doing here? Trayvon Diggs hopped on the hot noise. Micah Parsons said, yeah, I'm not playing, but I know how to get the guest that everyone's talking about because of Cowboys post game. Hop on me with Bleacher Report.
Come have an edge sesh.
And let's go over what happened with the reporter from Channel 8.
Why did you react, you know, the way you did? And, you know, what's your thoughts about that? You know, media trying to portray an image that isn't there. Because, and then before you go, I do think, you know, he was wrong. Because obviously you're in man coverage and times you got to see it, you know, kid was going on the field. So the narratives that he's trying to drive from the video was wrong, but kind of give your thoughts what led to that reaction and that outcome.
Yeah, I just felt like, you know, it was unnecessary. You know, I just felt like, you know, he was trying to use my name, you know, for clicks. And, you know, after the game, I just happened to see it, you know, and I clicked on it, I seen who it was. I was like, oh, he right here. Like, I just saw you. So I went up to him. You know, and I just spoke how I felt. I felt like it was a lot of emotions, you know, just losing, coming out the game. You know, we fresh off the loss. You know, I'm a competitor, so, you know, I wanted to win. So, you know, just a lot of emotions, and, you know, I just kind of let my, you know, emotions get the best of me. But, you know, at the end of the day, it still doesn't make it right for anybody just to be saying anything or just trying to throw dirt on your name or make you, you know, seem like you're doing bad or a bad job, you know, because, you know, I felt like I played my hardest game yesterday. I felt like, you know, I did everything I could. I felt like, you know, I was tackling, setting the edges, you know, just doing everything to help my team win. And for him to just try to throw that on my name, it just didn't sit right with me because you were, like, completely wrong.
And Bobby rewatched the game in post-hut clarity every Tuesday at 7:20 during the expressway and agreed with Trayvon's effort. What are you doing over here? What are you dancing to?
Just, you know, just enjoying the vibe.
You know the vibe. Yeah, he played well. Like, you can't talk about effort and, you know, run support and edge setting with Trayvon in this game. And so it was probably an unfair criticism. It probably didn't help who it was coming from, because there are a lot of players in there who I think are frustrated by questions that get asked by that reporter pretty frequently. And so I think that it was a combination of that doesn't feel like a valid criticism, and it's coming from someone who we often feel like tries to set us up.
Yeah.
And so I don't blame Trayvon for getting out there and being upset. He's got to have better self-control. It's the old line Chris Rock used to use in one of his stand-ups. He said, I'm not excusing it, but I understand. Like, that's it. I'm not excusing what he did, but I understand why he had an emotional reaction. He's got to control it better. But it also probably wasn't a totally fair description or insinuation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought the tweet was wrong. I thought it was wrong. Like, what's he doing on this play? He's probably doing what his assignment was. Now,
it wasn't the assignment, though. He was trying to talk about the effort at the end.
Yeah, the effort was through. I didn't notice any. I mean, now, at the very end when he pushed him out of bounds, yeah, he didn't dive at his knee and try to save an extra yard.
Oh, my God. Belichick last night on Monday. I'm trying to just write down all my Belichick coaching principles for next year or whoever Bill ends up. I'm trying to learn from the greatest Bengals. Ever. Yeah. And he said he's working with Ryan Clark, and Ryan Clark said something, and I thought it was kind of a dumb point, but a guy got pushed out of bounds, and Bill said, Ryan Clark taught me, we got the pads on for a reason. Don't push him out of bounds. Hit him. Use your pads. Hit him. So I thought of that right there with Trayvon. Mm-hmm. The play in question is him, like, closing on Kittle on the sideline.
Ryan Clark making the brooch. You notice that? He's got a brooch on every day. With his initials on it. You know, you don't see that. You haven't seen that. That's like my grandmother used to wear brooches. But I can get down with that if it's your name. I'm going to get a big RJ right there on the side.
This is a classic example. I love Sean will set up a point and then go to RJ for reaction. He's like, did you see his hat? They're like, did you see the brooch? Like, just the different things you do notice.
So I loved, I call them the hot noise. They talk way too much. They're way too sensitive. Everyone has media, but like place and time, in my opinion. But I loved this answer from Diggs and Micah. This sounds to me like they have belief. And this sound measured. This sound reasonable. I thought this sounded confident. Tell me if I'm crazy. Micah and Diggs on the idea that we're in the midst of a Cowboy meltdown.
What do we say to the critics who say that we're in a meltdown? Right now, I feel like this is the best. If you were telling me, you know, we were down all these defensive players and a few offensive players, and we'll only be down, you know, we would be leading at half and maybe lose a game by six to San Francisco 49ers, and knowing that we're going to get those starters back, I say you're delusional, bro. If you don't think me and D-Law, Bland, anybody like that can make a stop, make a play at any moment in that game, you're just outrageous. You're delusional. You know, you're going to scheme differently.
We're missing legitimately key pieces. Like, a lot of it is messed up right now because just what we're working with. Like, we're trying to make the best of it, you know? Like, it's just messed up right now. We just got to thug it out. And I feel like we're doing a good job of, you know, trying to figure it out. And it's not like we're playing scrubs. It's not like our schedule is easy. Like, we're playing some tough teams.
Playoff contending teams. And people don't realize also, like, Kittle don't usually go off of routes when I'm playing. He's chipping. He's staying in. Like, people forget presence of players change game plans, change everything about what a team could potentially do. You know what I'm saying? So a couple third and fives might be different calls.
It's like chess.
I love that answer. Now, I totally disagree. I feel like we are in the midst of a meltdown. KMC yesterday when I was driving home was talking about, like, is your belief in the season gone? And I think Kevin was being a little optimistic, saying, no, my belief in the season isn't gone. Mine is gone. Out the window.
You mean playoff?
I'm talking about winning a second round playoff game.
Okay.
Winning a second round playoff game, reaching the NFC champion. Yeah. Like, any thought of a close to a contender.
Right.
That's gone. I love, though, the answer from Micah and Diggs.
Yeah, I'm pretty much with it now.
As they sounded, they're like, "Yo, we're okay." It was a championship mindset. Like, we're okay. Like, we've been here before. These are things that would have been different if we're around. We had some guys, and I was like, "Oh wow, I liked it."
Look, I
disagree, but I really liked it.
Remember a couple years ago, the Titans went and they beat New England and they beat Baltimore. And they get whacked by Kansas City.
Yep.
Like, they made it to the AFC Championship game, but at no point, even in that run, were they a contender.
Right.
Right. But they made, so the Cowboys might be able to get on a lucky two-game go, but they're not a contender. Even if they do that, they don't even get put in contender status.
I don't think they're making the playoffs.
I think right now. Now, I will say this. I do think if you look at this, we all would have thought going into the year they were going to lose to Baltimore, Detroit, and San Fran.
Yep.
So they're really only one game off what most of us had after seven games.
Okay. So
No. I can't let that just slide.
But it's also the way they've looked.
Yeah, of course it's the way they look. But the schedule always changes. The Commanders are now a big problem.
Yeah.
That's a two-game difference in adjustment. No, you can't just pick the ones that help. Like the first part of the argument, they're not just one game off. They're two or three off now because of the Commanders.
Right, but I don't buy that the Commanders I don't look at it like where he goes in, oh, this team's 6-2, well, they have to be a good team. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Here's the problem.
I don't think Washington's like a good, they're not
tomorrow,
a contender.
Tomorrow, the Commanders and the Cowboys on a neutral field is what in your mind?
In terms of the spread?
Look, spread and what you would do as well.
The spread will be, if they were to play on a neutral field, a pick 'em or 1 point.
Just like Cincy has now changed, right? Like to a weaker game.
Yeah.
And Tampa Bay, I mean, I don't know what happened to their receivers towards the end of the year, but go ahead.
There's just two things. One, when they talk about, we've played tough teams, or when we say, we thought those were three losses right there. Yeah, but generally what you say is, if Dallas is a contending team, they'll probably steal one of those. They'll probably steal one because they're a good team. They should be competitive, and it should make a difference in one of those games. They're not. They've gotten swept. And the problem is that it's not. The issue is we're playing good teams. Right, and you're not. You're not. You're not a good team, and that's why you lose to these good teams.
I thought you were going to take it to look at our schedule, who we've been playing. Well, let's finish that sentence.
It gets worse.
What about the schedule you're about to play?
Yeah.
You better win the Atlanta game.
Have to.
Yeah, this is a must win.
At Atlanta, Philly, Houston, at the Commanders. That's a gauntlet.
I also like the insinuation, like, would have been different if I'm out there, because Kittle is not running these routes. It's like, well, Micah, you were out there last year,
yeah,
and Kittle scored three touchdowns, so I don't know what you're talking about.
And every year, they were closer to San Fran without you. They were closer to San... Them being closer to San Fran has more Tolos saying, why should we give Micah 35? We played them closer. Mm-hmm. What about all the previous times you were there against them and they beat y'all's ass?
Three touchdowns last year. He went for 5-95 in the last playoff game. Like, Kittle has played fine when you've been out there. It's not that big
a deal. Micah's the delusional one. Now, I like the confidence early on. We were all in love with the Lion training camp, championship mindset. He's the one that's like a little bit delusional. I love their confidence, but they better win this Falcon game.
Which they won't.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what to expect from Atlanta. That's a topic for tomorrow.
And I don't know what to expect from Atlanta, but I know what to expect from this team.
Fair point. 877-881-1053 in order to hit us up on the Frank LaFranco Injury Attorney text line. How disappointed is Mikey B that the World Series looks to be over? And who bought Vasek's antenna to watch the Mavs win? Crosstalk with KMC after this.
And it's back to Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan segment here brought to you by Classic Chevrolet. Classic Chevrolet in Grapevine is the number one Chevy dealer in the world. More Silverados than anyone else. This is Texas. This is Classic Chevrolet. Together, let's drive, relax, enjoy the difference based on new Chevrolet registrations 2023.
A 1-2 offering from Schmidt. Freddie swings and belts the ball right field, hooking toward the corner. Hello, short porch, and hello, Freddie Freeman. For a third straight game in this World Series, five straight World Series games overall, Freddie Freeman goes deep.
The World Series MVP starting to get the rings fitted in Los Angeles. 3-0 is the series after 4-2 last night.
He obviously hasn't watched Netflix.
That documentary, The Comeback with the Red Sox and the Yankees, is phenomenal.
I heard you talking about it the other day. I lived it. I don't need to go back and see it.
What position
Fair
did you
enough.
Play?
Yeah.
Please, were you Dustin Pedroia? He wasn't on the team yet.
Wouldn't that be really weird if Sean was like, yes, yeah. I am Dustin Pedroia.
Mike,
pretty shocked.
Are you really disappointed that we're at 3-0?
I am, for the first time in the series. I was rooting for the Yankees last night, and man.
Hey, their fans don't stand behind home plate either. I couldn't believe it. I could not
believe it. The ones down in the moat? Yeah, they don't stand.
Because
sure.
Back in the day, like, I grew up. Yeah. Loving old Yankee Stadium with that. And everyone's standing up. That's why I'm so pissed off and disappointed when I go to Ranger games, even World Series games, and no one gets up. And then I'm watching last night after that Fat Joe.
Yeah, they weren't all the way up. They were all the way down.
They were.
Mike, good job. That was impressive. Good reference.
They
weren't standing up. Two strikes, first inning. I couldn't believe it.
They were outside the moat.
Yes.
The however many rows there are, five or six rows. I went. I remember
they should make you stand up like Steve Ballmer is doing in LA with the Clippers.
Yes. I remember
those
when
are probably $3K a seat too.
Ballmer or Yankees?
No, those Yankee seats right below. They probably for the World Series probably $3K a seat.
More than that. They had the
secondary market. I'm saying if you're a season ticket holder, hey, make sure you buy your package for all the playoffs. If you make it to the World Series, these are face value $3,000. You could probably sell them on the open market for $5,000 to $8,000.
Does it make a difference? How much of a difference does it make when you're up there, two strikes, everyone's up? How much of a difference?
You can feel the energy in the crowd.
Always usually helps you?
Yes and no.
Except if you're Jack Leiter.
You do want it. Oh. But I think for guys that aren't strikeout guys, it gets you fired up to do something you're somewhat not capable of.
I want to get this up to 91.
But I do think you can, when you're the visiting team and everybody, like you give up a run and then they keep the energy going. They don't just go, we scored a run. We stood up and clapped for 10 seconds. Now we sit down and quietly watch the next at bat.
There's a buzz.
Like when there's that buzz and energy when you're on the mound opposing that team, you can feel a little bit more pressure in those situations. And, you know, sometimes the game quickens up on you and you're like, why did I do that? And you're just like, you weren't thinking in that pace you need to think at against those guys.
Corey Majors, good morning. What is coming up on the program?
Right out of the gate, Dak says the season's still in the Cowboys' control. When will it be out of their control, though? And then Mike asks all the football questions at 10:20 today.
Ooh. Yeah, I took issue with you yesterday driving home.
What did I do?
And then you're like, I still have hope. I haven't lost all hope in the Cowboys season. How can that be?
What?
How can that be? No one has any hope.
I do. I have a little bit of hope.
You do? For what?
That they can make the playoffs.
Okay. That they can make
did
the playoffs.
Did you think I was saying like hope to win the Super Bowl?
Not win, but like... You know, second round playoff win, maybe conference title. That was the reasonable. That was the ceiling that.
Yeah, no,
people
I have,
were hoping
I have
for.
I hope they can still make the playoffs.
Okay, you do.
I think probably about it.
I do think, as much as I'm not a Cowboys fan anymore, I think they're going to hang around Christmas time. There'll still be a small chance they make the playoffs.
They're 13th in the conference. When did you say they win their next game, Bob?
1 month from yesterday. They will win on. They will win on Thanksgiving. They're going to lose their next four.
No way.
What do you? All right, tell me what games they win in this stretch, Michael.
Sunday,
they beat the Falcons.
Yeah.
Okay. Then
I think they beat the Eagles.
All right.
I think they're going to split with the
Eagles. Winning record now.
Oh, hell, I'll tell you what's going to happen. They are going to get swept by the Eagles and the Commanders this year, and that's going to be even more stark because that Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore kicked your ass four times.
And then they lose to the Texans.
Okay.
Then I think they lose at Commanders. I'm just giving it a split against the Commanders.
Fine.
I'll say that's
2-2.
All right.
And they beat the Giants.
They beat the Giants. They beat the Bengals. They beat the Panthers.
5-2 during that stretch.
They lose to the Buccaneers. They lose to the Eagles. They lose to the Commanders.
Oh.
If the Cowboys get to even, what are they? They're 3-4 right now.
So that puts them right 8 wins for the year?
If they get to 8 wins, I will shave my head bald like Mike.
Wait, say it again.
If they get to 8 wins, I'll shave my head bald like Mike.
They'll
mark it.
Don't play that one before Jerry next week, not Mike Tirico.
That'll also make him in a great mood.
The Browns beat the Ravens. Like, they're not gonna just lose every game. And Micah's coming back. It doesn't mean they're a good team.
They'll win three or something. But Mike,
what has gotten into you?
Mike Zimmer has a minor league defense right now.
Like, are you being sarcastic right now?
No, I promise you, I'm not.
He was saying this yesterday.
I don't think they're gonna make the playoffs. I think they're just going to miss out. But I think when Micah comes back. We saw this was one of the worst defenses in the NFL. They drafted Micah Parsons, and it got above average. Micah is that good that he will take this crap defense and turn it into okay by himself.
Kevin Hagelin, I have to give you a lot of credit.
Oh, after the angry part?
Yeah.
All right.
I was sitting there just so uncomfortable.
Oh.
As you did this with Stephen Jones yesterday. After the Trayvon incident.
Are you familiar with the incident between Trayvon Diggs and Mike Leslie yesterday? And if so, can you give us any feedback about that?
I'm not aware of that at all.
Okay, so...
All right, stop. I thought you were done. I thought you were moving forward.
I did too.
I thought maybe you'd give a quick summary.
I'm sorry, Corey. I went rogue.
And recap and say, well, you know, they disagreed. Mike said something about Trayvon. Trayvon came out of the locker room. You are in-depth. Play-by-play here.
Pretty accurate, though, right?
And I was watching Mike just on his cheese and smile on the damn fan cam for the rest of the way that this painfully good, but painfully awkwardly played out.
Trayvon Diggs comes out and talks to Mike Leslie while he's still in his pads about a tweet that he sent out asking what Trayvon Diggs was doing. And he said to Mike Leslie, "You don't know ball. You can't do what I can do." So Mike Leslie responds, specific. "I'd love to talk to you about it." And Trayvon Diggs walks back into the locker room and says, "You can talk about D's nuts."
Well, I don't have anything to say because I don't know about it firsthand and not going to comment on that.
Okay. Fair enough.
Is that not more or less what happened?
It's the Wolf Blitzer delivery of, like, he said D's nuts.
And after the fair enough part, Kevin looks at me and gives me the hand gesture of, "Now your turn." And I went, "Thanks a lot, Steven. Have a great day."
That might have been my favorite part. Corey's like, "I'm done."
That was 19 seconds. I cannot believe he did not cut it off and be like, "I'm not getting into this, you know, National Enquirer type crap." And you, Mike Leslie's name being dropped and everything. And then Wolf. Hit it with
"I'd love to talk to you about it." And Trayvon Diggs walks back into the locker room and says, "You can talk about D's nuts."
That's so good.
And Bassick is dying on a fan cam.
Steven has to think that's funny. Jerry thought it was funny this morning.
Yeah.
He did think it was funny.
He said, "I'm half smirking when I say this." He knew what it meant.
He knew.
You think Jerry knew?
Yes.
I don't think he knew. He would have made a joke. Steven is above making a joke about it.
I think
Jerry's not above making a joke about it.
I think Jerry was trying to.
Is not that Steven's low. Jerry has more comedic.
Steven will let us make the joke and he'll laugh at it. He's laughed at plenty of stuff we've said.
Yeah. I think Jerry was developing the joke in his head. I think he was determining which way he wanted to go with it. And then it was the stammer. We ended up just kind of cutting it there. But it was like the same thing when you asked him about the whole like spraining. How does that happen with Jalen Tolbert?
Spraining nuts.
Yeah. Is that
which Steven thought
that,
was hilarious?
Jerry talked for like 10 seconds where it was like, "Are we going to get an answer to this?" And then at the very end of it, he went, "Or you can do it at midnight."
He thought of it though. Yeah. In the moment.
But that's what I'm saying. I think he was gathering his thought. Yeah.
What type of reaction did you get from that?
There were three people who did not like it.
Really?
But there were a whole lot of other people who liked it quite a bit. I guess
what did they not like? They say it was disrespectful.
They were like, "What kind of answer did you expect him to give?" And I just told him, I was like, "Look, I didn't believe him when he said he had not heard of that." So
agreed.
I was like, "All right, if you've not heard of it, let me catch you up."
Yeah. All right, let's hear what happened with Jerry today. Jerry, I'll try to end this with a laugh. I'll say this, then duck. But Diggs, at the end of the confrontation, used a line that I was wondering if you had ever heard of before. Are you familiar at all with D's nuts?
Well, you know, there's a... In that context, no, I'd have to hear it said in context.
Okay. I'll send you the audio. I'm not going to say it to you. And I'm not going to rephrase it to you. You know, my big regret.
Well, no, what it looks like, I'm sitting here with a half smirk.
My big regret is not like having a follow up for when he goes, "I don't know the context." And then we should have had something ready to go.
What you should have said was, "Are you familiar with D's?"
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Be like, all right, here's the context. Yes. Are you familiar with D's?
Yeah.
And then, but he would go, no.
Answer about Dez Bryant.
Yes.
Yeah. True.
It would have been
Dez
funny,
Bryant
though.
Wants everybody fired.
I do like now that we have a clip of you saying, are you familiar with? And then saying the phrase.
So that's what played out yesterday. All right, who got the Mike Bassick antenna for the Mavs win last night over the Utah Jazz? You were able
to
see.
I had to move my antenna around last night. It was not the best.
TNT tonight. I can watch tonight. So did the antenna go out or did it stay in when the leg broke?
It was like, you know, it was buffering type deal. And I was like,
during the leg, during the broken leg?
God, I saw that.
His leg was buffering.
I immediately flipped back to like the baseball game or the commercial of the baseball game. I'm like, I can't take that stuff. Like, I feel bad for the guy. But he was like there. It felt like forever. As the ref's looking at him, like, why doesn't he get up? One of his teammates is like, hey, we're supposed to be running a play here. And I'm like, oh, God, his leg is done. And then finally the ref blew the whistle like, yeah, his leg is snapped.
What's the worst injury you've seen in person at a game?
What? I saw that. There's our first baseman in Norfolk, Jorge Toca. He was covering home. It was a weird play, but he was the first baseman having to cover home, and the guy slid feet first as hard as he could. Yeah. And because he's not a catcher, and he's not, in a way, we do stupid things, but as a pitcher, we do in practice covering home plate and making sure we're supposed to be out of the way. Too many pitchers nowadays get their body way too in the way, but you know, you can't do what you used to do back in the day. And the dude slid right into his leg and snapped his leg in half.
Enjoy your breakfast and your lunch. We're back tomorrow. It's the KMC Masterpiece next on The Fan.